Welcome back to the Huddle on ESPN Upstate, Tuesday edition. Greg McKinney and Lonzo. We will be taking a few days off after today. We have Mark Childress in here tomorrow and Thursday. And it'll be Richmond Weaver on Friday, as I understand it.
Yes. Right? You are absolutely right.
All right. So we're glad you're listening in today. If you want to get on board with us, we'll open up the lines for your calls again after this segment at 844-477-3776 or on the Health Dare text line. You can reach us at 71307. Three questions time now in the Huddle. All right, Alonzo, question number one for today.
Who is your pick for the Heisman Trophy this Saturday?
So I want two things here. Who do you pick? Who would you pick? Who do you think wins?
That's what I intended to do in the first place, yeah. But you go right ahead.
Good. I'm glad that I have set it up for you properly. Mine are the same, but barely. My pick is Tua Tagovailoa of Alabama. And I'm reluctantly saying he will win. I'm not real confident in that. I think Kyler Murray could win the thing. Just because the last thing we saw was on conference championship weekend on Saturday. And certainly Kyler Murray had a much, much, much better weekend. I think Tua was 10 for 25, and then he went out with the injury. And they had to bring in the backup that he beat out for the job to save the day. That's not a good look for the last weekend. I hope that these Heisman voters will look at the big picture here. And if you do that, I think Tua should win. I will say he hangs on to win it, but it could be, well, it could be Kyler Murray. I wouldn't be surprised at all by that, and I think it will be a very close vote. And unfortunately, it will not be your guy from Ohio State. He's not in the mix.
Well, you're wrong. He is in the mix because he's in New York.
So that doesn't put him in the mix.
That puts him in the mix.
No, it's not.
If you're invited to the party, you're at the party.
You're at the party, but you're not a player. Sorry.
All right. If I had a Heisman vote, and I'm not sure why I don't.
There's no good reason for that.
We're going to have to look into that because a ton of other people have them. I need one, too. I would pick Haskins because here's the thing. I mean, this is a popularity vote. Yeah, all three of these guys are excellent football players, but this is a popularity vote. And right now, you know, it's turning away from Tua because he's not popular right now because he had a little bit of an injury, so he's no longer popular. So people are trending towards Kyler Murray. Again, Haskins would be my pick. I think he's done everything to earn it, and he's at least earned his way to New York, but Tua's going to win this. I think he has been the guy all year long. I don't think that the injury is going to damage his chance, and just because the media and everybody else's, their wind has swayed towards Kyler Murray doesn't mean he's going to win it. Tua's going to win it.
Close.
We'll see.
Close. He is close. All right. Question number two.
Is Ryan Day the right choice to coach Ohio State? Here's what was it? 70-8? I forget. It was some...
Urban?
Yeah. It was
worse than that.
Yeah, it was...
Yeah.
Trust me, he was there 7 years. He had eight losses. So that should tell you a lot. And, you know, a ton of bowl games, a national championship, all that kind of stuff. Whether you like Urban or not, he is a legend. So Ryan Day is following a legend. And as we were talking about last hour, as we watched the press conference, Ryan Day could possibly be over his head just by the look on his face because his cheeks were blood red and knees.
He was not.
I mean, that could be like, oh my God, what have I done type of thing. And he's a young guy. That's the one good thing about it, though, is if he is able to continue recruiting and he's able to continue winning, if he has 2-8 win seasons, he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't tolerate that in Ohio. If he goes out and loses to Michigan 2 years in a row, the experiment is over and they'll go get a big name. But I hope this works out because – he understands the system, all that kind of stuff. He's got the experience now that he coached the team for four games, didn't bow under the pressure, was able to win all four of those games. I think he is the right choice right now. And I hope he's not transitional because of his youth. If he's not transitional and he's able, if he's the genius that they're acting like he is, he's what, 34? Isn't that what I think he's, anyway, he's
really
very young. He could coach there for a very long time.
He could. 82-9 was Urban's record at Ohio State.
That's not bad. There's only a couple coaches who could say that they're that good.
He was 22-2 at Utah, but he was only there 2 years. He was 65-15 at Florida, but he won two national championships there. And he was 17-6 at Bowling Green. 82-9, that's 90% win rate at Ohio State. It's crazy. And that's hard to live up to. It's good that Ohio State beat TCU back in mid-September. Do you think if they had lost that game, Ryan Day would be the coach? They would have at least put on a more of an effort for a search.
With what we know of TCU now, yeah, I'm not so sure he would be.
Yeah. That was a 40-28 win. Because the other wins were Oregon State and Rutgers, and yeah, nobody cares.
Well, I think at the time, TCU was highly 15th. Thought of.
Yeah, they were 15th in the country. They didn't end up being very good, but he needed that win, and he got it. Look, I don't know too much about Ryan Day. I can tell that Ohio State is sold on this dude in a big way. In fact, so much so that they're worried about losing him and having to do that national search that they didn't want to do. You know, will it turn out to be a mistake not to look around? Who would they get at Ohio State? Who would you go after? Right. So yeah, you go with this guy.
Saban.
You're doing that.
That's it.
Right. And Dabo's not going there, and I don't know if they would want Dabo anyway. So, no, there's no—
They did just give him the Woody Hayes Award.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Should there still be a Woody Hayes Award?
Woody is a god in Columbus.
I'm not sure there should be. But anyway, I am okay with this decision, knowing as little as I know about Ryan Day. You know, you keep the continuity. He's been there, and they obviously have a big amount of confidence in him. But it would not be shocking, would it, if in 2 years they say, you know, got to do something else. I mean, if he – what does he have to win to keep the job? Say in a – they'll give him 3 years, won't they? They give him 3 years. He can't lose four games a year.
Here's the thing. I don't think Haskins is going anywhere. I believe that he is a possibility for him to go as some sort of – I forget what I read or heard somewhere. Haskins comes back another year. He's only going to get better if he stays healthy. So he's going to have a good year next year. The year after that, then we'll see. So I give him at least 2 years. And, again, you're used to at least 10-win seasons in Ohio. Mm-hmm. You're used to being in the conversation for the playoffs, if not being in the playoffs. As long as he does that, he's good. And you got to beat Michigan.
Well, I don't have any trouble doing that, ever.
Well, so, Urban didn't. Right. Some other coaches in the past did. And
so if that turns around and Michigan starts winning, he's done.
Oh, yeah.
Finish. No matter what else the record shows, he's done.
No, listen, if you lose to Michigan and you win a national championship, that will ease it a little bit. Yeah, I don't know how that could happen, but with this committee, who knows?
Yeah, it's possible, but not likely. All right, so Ryan Day's the guy. They did wrap up the news conference in Columbus, and now everybody's rehashing what was said there. But it was a very complimentary news conference for Urban Meyer, as you would expect. And then Urban Meyer was very subdued and did not lash out in any way that I saw. We carried a good bit of it, but not all of it. I didn't see any lashing out by Urban Meyer. In fact, he's staying with the school in some role, so he's obviously trying to play it straight down the middle. He did say that it's probably true that his reputation has been affected by what happened going into this season. That seems obvious. That seems obvious. And he did go on to say, I believe I will not coach again. So there you go from Urban Meyer.
And I believe he doesn't want to get caught for lying again, since it was made such a big deal out of it. So you just leave it.
You leave it open.
Yeah.
Always leave it open, yeah. All right. Final question.
Do you believe the Green Bay Packers front office when they say Aaron Rodgers had no say in firing Mike McCarthy and won't be involved in picking the new coach?
Technically, yes. In spirit, no. No. You know, they didn't say, hey, Aaron, you want us to fire McCarthy? Probably. But they know his attitude about McCarthy. They certainly have talked to him about McCarthy. And they have a pretty good feeling about what Aaron Rodgers thinks. As far as the new coach is concerned, again, no, they're not going to say, all right, Aaron, who you want? By the way, Urban Meyer was mentioned by some people on Twitter for that job. Is that ridiculous or what? There's no way. that he would be the coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I just saw something saying Nick Saban is also mentioned for the job. So, I mean, you know.
Okay, sure. The odds on that, by the way. Let's see. Odds to be next. This is from Bet Online out in Vegas. I guess Lincoln Riley at 3-1 and John DeFilippo at 3-1 are the favorites. How about that?
Didn't Lincoln Riley just take a job?
Yeah, he has a job. He has a job, but I wouldn't hate that. Zach Taylor at 10-1. Bruce Arians at 12-1. Brett Favre is 100-1.
There we go. At least with Bruce Arians, you get some really cool press conferences wearing that sweet hat and talking all deep.
Yeah. Adam Gase 12-1. We'll see where that goes. Looks like DeFilippo and Lincoln Riley, the favorites from Vegas to take the Green Bay job. So, that's what I think. I think Aaron Rodgers' opinion was well understood and will be well understood before they bring in the new guy. Technically, no, but in spirit, yes. The opinion of Aaron Rodgers was big in the decision to fire and will be in the decision to hire.
I know that Aaron's your guy, and I, you know, I heard firsthand, I wasn't there, but I heard the bonding that took place when you interviewed him
BMW.
No, there was bonding there. It was like a kindred spirits type thing. But from everything I've read, and there are signs that Aaron's kind of a diva.
Yeah.
And so,
wouldn't you be?
So,
yes,
no,
would
because
be.
I would be very humble, you know,
okay,
and thankful for being there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had a lot to do with this whole thing. Now, as far as picking the next coach, I don't know about that, but I think he had a lot to do with why McCarthy's gone.
He's got to be okay with the next coach, Lonzo. He's got to be okay with it.
You said spiritually, so they won't come to him and go, "Hey, Aaron,
who do you want?
We've got to narrow down to these three. What do you think?"
They're gonna ask his opinion, and if he says, "I'll leave,"
yeah, but do they come in and do a sell job? Okay, here are the positives for this guy right here. We're really high on him. What do you think?
Yeah, listen to this. By the way, one current assistant coach says whoever's the next guy at Green Bay should make his authority clear. Linebackers coach and assistant head coach Winston Moss tweeted what he thinks the Green Bay Packers should be looking for. Here's the tweet. Ponder this. What championship teams have are great leadership, period. It's not the offensive guru trend. It's not the safe trend. Find somebody that is going to hold number 12 and everybody in this building to a Lombardi standard, period. Hashtag losing sucks. Is that a good move for an assistant coach at Green Bay? You got to hold number 12 to the standard.
You missed the other hashtag, I'm that guy hashtag.
Did he really do that?
No.
No. No, it's a hashtag Lombardi standard, hashtag losing sucks. So he probably realizes he's going to be off the staff anyway. Is that what it is?
Either that or he's one of Aaron's boys and he knows he's safe.
I don't know, man. When you say hold Aaron to the Lombardi standard, that's saying, hey, he hasn't been held to that standard. And it's true that Aaron hasn't had his best year. That's fair, but, I mean, alienating the quarterback might not be the thing to do if you're a Packers
assistant.
Well,
you know, the Packers are going to go undefeated the rest of the way because McCarthy was obviously the problem and the reason why that they were struggling.
They were going to go the undefeated the rest of the way before they lost to the Cardinals last weekend.
Yeah.
That was the plan that Aaron laid out.
You can't blame him for firing him after that. The Cardinals are pretty bad.
That's awful. Just an awful, awful loss. 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line, 71307. We'll be back. This is The Huddle. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. Hey, Cleveland won a basketball game last night. How about that?
They won, what, like three for the entire season?
Five.
Okay. Yeah. More than what I thought.
They only beat the Nets, though. The Nets have won eight. 99-97, Cavaliers won last night. Tristan Thompson with 19 points and 14 rebounds. Thunder, 15-7 now. They beat the Pistons last night. The Warriors are 16-9 after they beat the Hawks. Can't take much credit for that one. Sorry, Warriors. Let's see. The Wizards over the Knicks. Wizards still under 500, though. Toronto lost their fifth game. Denver beat them. 106 to 103. Rockets continue to struggle. They lost last night to the Timberwolves, 103 to 91. Rockets are 11 and 12 on the season. And it was the Clippers over the Pelicans, 129 to 126 on the NBA scoreboard last night. They fined the Clippers' Patrick Beverley for throwing that basketball at a fan. $25,000.
I didn't see the video. Did he actually connect?
I don't know. Maybe it's about to play it for me because I don't remember.
Yeah, good luck with that thing actually playing.
What? Your computer doesn't play video?
No.
I'm waiting through the ad, so I'll let you know
there
if
you go. You know, speaking of Cleveland real quick, I just saw something where you can win a trip to Cleveland to hang out with Kevin Love.
I saw something about that.
I wonder how many people actually are trying to do that. I like Kevin Love, but I don't want to hang out with him. I don't want to go to Cleveland.
What does that mean? You hang out with him after the game, before the game?
On the bench because he's hurt.
Oh, you sit on the bench.
No, I don't know if you sit on the bench, but you like go out to eat or something.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm trying to watch Patrick Beverley throw this ball.
Told you it wouldn't play.
No, it's playing, but they cut it off before he threw the ball. Now they're replaying the scramble for the ball. Come on, ESPN. Show me the good stuff. Some fan said something to him, I guess. And he didn't like that. Yeah.
So the fan cursed at him.
And cursed his mother. All right. So I see him do a two-handed pass at somebody, but doesn't show the fan. So I don't know if it hit him or not. Anyway, $25,000 for doing that. He said the fan twice told him, blank your mother. That would make me mad.
That probably would tick me off, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He said he told the referee, told security. Never been ejected from a game since he's been in the NBA. Play hard, play within the lines, and he did not like that. Can't accept that, he said. He said, I can accept if he said it to me, but was crossing a line saying that about his mother.
You know, it's not like throwing a baseball at someone or a football. It's a basketball. No. I mean, you know.
Unless you pop them in the face and make their nose bleed or something.
Yeah.
But didn't say that he did that. On the NCAA basketball investigation, good luck with this. The attorneys for the five men accused of bribery, fraud, and conspiracy have asked a federal judge to dismiss the charges. The five men scheduled to go on trial, but that won't happen until next April 22nd. The motion filed last night, the attorneys argued that while their clients may have violated NCAA rules by accepting money from a former runner, these are not federal crimes. That's their argument. They say, in this case, the government has singled out certain alleged NCAA rules violations as corrupt and decided to prosecute them as federal crimes. The indictment should be dismissed because the allegations fail to support a conviction under any viable theory of criminal liability. To the contrary, each of the government's charges is predicated on a novel theory that it's inconsistent with the relevant statutory language and would impermissibly extend the boundaries of federal criminal law well beyond constitutional limits. That's some good lawyer talk.
I was going to say, can we get a translator in here? Because it sounded like a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah. ESPN's reporting that federal prosecutors have had preliminary discussions with the defense attorneys about plea agreements to avoid another lengthy trial. So maybe they go that route. And by the way, there's a little bit of a South Carolina connection here. I'm talking about the University of South Carolina. You already know about Merle Code, which is, I guess, the Clemson connection, even though he's not connected with the university anymore. He played there. But the former coaches involved are Emmanuel Richardson, who was at Arizona, Oklahoma State's Lamont Evans, and Southern Cal's Tony Bland. They're accused of accepting bribes to steer players at their respective schools to sign with certain financial managers and agents once they turn pro. Now, here's the part. Richardson's accused of accepting $20,000 in bribes. Evans, $22,000. Lamont Evans, while they say at South Carolina and Oklahoma State, not just Oklahoma State. And Bland, about $13,000. The other two men charged, former Adidas consultant Merle Code and Christian Dawkins, a former runner for NBA agent Andy Miller. They've already been convicted, Code and Dawkins. In a separate federal criminal case involving pay-for-play schemes to influence recruits to attend schools including Kansas, Louisville, and NC State. So there you go. They're saying it's not a federal crime. Dismiss the charge. We'll see. I wouldn't imagine that that would be the most effective argument that you could come up with, but we'll see. You never know. And one more NBA draft announcement, and that is, NFL draft announcement. That is Ole Miss wide receiver A.J. Brown. He will pass on his senior season. He will enter the 2019 draft. He made the announcement on Twitter. Here's the good thing. If you're an Ole Miss, you don't have to worry about skipping the bowl game because they can't go to a bowl game because of probation. He is 6'1", 230 pounds, named first-team All-SEC today. He caught 85 passes for 1,320 yards and 6 touchdowns this season. And as a sophomore, he caught 11 touchdown passes, was an All-American, and an All-SEC selection. So there you go on that. On that All-SEC team, you have some Gamecocks named. This is the team that was announced by the coaches today. We told you about the AP team yesterday. This is the coaches' All-SEC team. And Deebo Samuel, first team as an all-purpose performer and a return specialist. Second team as wide receiver, so that's similar to what we saw yesterday. Offensive lineman Zach Bailey, second team. And the punter, Joseph Charlton, made the second team unit here. This is from the SEC coaches. Bailey, key figure in helping the Gamecocks come up with a 32.5 point per game average and 440 yards of offense a game. And you know what Deebo did. And, of course, Deebo announcing yesterday that he'll skip the Belk Bowl and get ready for the NFL. And Charlton, the punter, he's 6'5", 188 pounds. That's pretty thin, right? 6'5", 188 pounds. Not a bulky guy. But he set a school record with a 44.8-yard punting average for a single season. And he's the career leader in punting average at South Carolina, 44 yards a kick. He punted 43 times. 24 of them resulted in fair catches. He also had 13 that were 50 yards or more. Gamecocks 12th in the country in net punting. Really good at punting. That's basically what that says. Charlton is a good punter. Very good punter. Of course, Gamecocks will face Virginia in the Belk Bowl coming up Saturday, December 29th at 12.
So I'm just thinking that getting a punter on that team is just not a good thing, right?
No, I don't agree with that.
Because that's saying your offense wasn't good enough to not give you a lot of punting yards.
A lot of first downs or?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, everybody punts some, and he averaged 44 yards a punt. That's good. Charlton's a good punter.
Now, if he only punted 3 times a game or 2 times a game and was averaging that's still, you know, that's not bad.
Much more than that. 43 punts in 12 games. It was like 3.5 a game, right? More or less. Well, not bad. Yeah, they punted too much. I'll agree with that. They punted too much. But Charlton was very good. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back with more. 844-477-3776. In the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. There's a ways off before South Carolina plays Virginia in the Belk Bowl in Charlotte. The line on that game's been flying all over the place, though. Started out at 3.5, was bet up to 6, according to Vegas Insider. And then we found out Deebo Samuel's not going to play in the bowl game, and it went back to 4.5. So who knows? You think, so that's 1.5 just on the Deebo news? Is that reasonable? No Deebo, 1.5?
Makes sense to me.
I guess. I mean, South Carolina was an underdog against Michigan by 7 last year. Remember that? And they won. And, you know, South Carolina used to be awful at bowl games. Now they've won 4 of their last 5. So, for what that's worth. They will stay a favorite, I think, in this game. Unless we find out Jake Bentley's not playing. But Virginia's pretty good against the spread, too. This year they were 8-4 against the spread in odds. They covered 7 of the first 8 games, but then failed to cover in 3 of the last 4. Anyway, right now, 4.5 points the Gamecocks favored over Virginia in the Belk Bowl. For what it's worth. All right. 844-477-3776 is the phone number if you want to join us here in the final 20 minutes or so of the huddle. Pretty big high school football news today, in case you missed it. We talked about it early in the show. The schedule has changed for the 3A, 4A, and 5A games because of the weather forecast. South Carolina High School League this morning decided to move the games from Saturday to Friday. So they stay at Williams-Brice Stadium. Of course, 1A and 2A were already scheduled for Friday at Benedict College in Columbia, but the 3A, 4A, and 5A games will also be on Friday. And here's the way it's working out. The 4A game will be the first one, and that will be at 1 o'clock. Greer and Myrtle Beach will play at 1 o'clock on Friday at Williams-Brice Stadium. So Greer fans will have to get down there early. Maybe take a little time off to get down there and support the Yellow Jackets. The 3A game will be the next one at 4 o'clock, and that's Chester and Dillon. So we don't have a true local team there. Union County lost to Chester 21-14 last week. And then the 5A game will be the night game, 7:30 p.m. scheduled kickoff for Hannah and Dutch Fork on Friday night. And again, that's the schedule, and don't be surprised if they get behind that schedule. The forecast I see, Lonzo, say, have kind of trended more in the rain direction for South Carolina, haven't they?
They have, but there are some models that are talking about it being snow still.
Mm.
So,
and I guess it makes sense for Greer being that upstate team, furthest upstate, to go ahead and play their game earliest at 1 o'clock. That's probably why they're in the order that they're in, with Greer playing at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon. So keep that in mind if you're planning on traveling down to see any of those championship games. So now all the games on Friday, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, and 5A will be Friday games this week because of weather. It's only fitting with all the weather changes that we had that we have a change on the final week, right? I mean, why not?
Yeah, why not?
That's just the way it has been, and that's the way it will wrap up. If you're a hockey fan, I guess this is big news. Probably should have called Patrick about this.
Yeah, he's already been tweeting about it.
NHL expansion goes to Seattle. Seattle franchise will be the next one. Unanimous vote by the Board of Governors. 32nd franchise will come into existence for the 2021-2022 season. They'll be in the Pacific Division, so there will be a realignment that will send the Arizona Coyotes to the Central Division. How do you feel about that? The Coyotes going, I can't even say Coyotes. Would you say Coyotes? Coyotes?
I call them the Coyotes.
The Coyotes?
Them Coyotes.
They will go to the Central Division. Here's what it costs to come into the league. $650 million. You know, the last team to come in was the Vegas Golden Knights. They came in last year. It cost them $500 million. So a 30% increase for the next franchise to Seattle. $650 million.
Well, it only makes sense that they add another team because then, you know, then it's an even number.
Yeah, you didn't need to get up there. That's right. I mean, even Russell Wilson was tweeting about this. He said, NHL, welcome back to Seattle. Can't wait. Let's get the NBA back, too.
Well, he can play baseball and football. You think he can?
No, I don't know about hockey.
Go on the skates.
I don't know about that. Seattle's ownership group wanted to come in a little earlier. They talked about coming in 2020, but the league had reservations about that because of facilities. They're trying to renovate Key Arena, and so they pushed it back. The renovations have now reached a price tag of $800 million. All these numbers are just so colossal that it's kind of hard to comprehend, right? The renovation of Key Arena was supposed to be $600 million. Nope, going to be $800 million. Sorry, a little over budget. And so NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman said, when you include the cost of reimagining and building Seattle Center Arena, this is a transaction with a total value of about $1.4 billion. He said that shows incredible commitment by everyone involved, commitment not just to the NHL, but also to the city of Seattle. That's a big city. It's a big market. They're the 18th largest city in the United States. They haven't had a winter sports team since the Supersonics left for Oklahoma City in 2008 in the NBA. So it's been 10 years since the NBA left. The Sonics also played in that same arena. The WNBA, Seattle Storm, are currently playing there, but they will temporarily relocate for 2019 and 2020 as they renovate. So big changes there and a big deal for Seattle. Hopefully they will support NHL hockey coming there. It has seemed inevitable for a while. They did a season ticket drive And they said they had 25,000 deposits in an hour. Is that crazy? That's pretty good.
It's hard for us to fathom because it's hockey, but it makes good sense where it's located. Yes.
Yeah, it does. It does. I would expect that Seattle would support hockey there, and they're going to get it. So that news coming out this week. On the next expansion, Seattle gets the next team in the NHL. All right, last call for phone calls. If you want to jump on board, time is now, 844-477-3776. Health Dare text line 71307. We're back to wrap it up in the huddle next on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. It is the final segment of the huddle today, ESPN Upstate. They are about to introduce Scott Satterfield as the next head coach of the Louisville Cardinals football team. So that puts Appalachian State in the market for a new football coach. And one of the guys who will be mentioned for that is Nate Woody. You may remember him from Wofford College. Did a good job there. So let's see. I don't know if he will get the job or not, but he's certainly one of the candidates for that job as Satterfield takes over the Louisville job. So good luck to him in that. Would be nice to see Nate get that position. Also, some of the things that have happened today that we've talked about in the huddle. Alonzo, since you and I won't be here after today for the rest of the week, taking the rest of the week off. Who you got in Army-Navy? Who you liking that one? That's Saturday. That's the football game Saturday. Will you be tuned, glued to the TV for the Army-Navy game?
I wish that I could say that I would be, but I won't. But I'm going with Army.
Army is good this year. I am also going with Army in that one. They're definitely the better team, but better team doesn't always win.
What time is that game again?
It's in the afternoon. I think 2 o'clock, 2:30 maybe. It's an afternoon game. We will have Clemson basketball that day, so otherwise we would probably bring you that game. But yeah, got to like that Army team this year. We're both going with Tua for the Heisman.
Yes, we are.
But I think it'll be really close. Could it be record-setting close?
I don't think so.
All right.
What would record-setting?
I don't know.
You'd have to look that up. Yeah,
but I don't know. But
when you say record-setting close, are you talking like 10 votes? I mean, how many votes are you talking?
I don't know. But whatever the record is, I think it could be that close. I think Kyler Murray is, and again, Kyler Murray could win the thing. Just based on what happened last weekend, because of such a big national stage with the SEC championship game, which was a great football game, but it was not a great day for Tua. I feel bad for him to lose the Heisman. Basically, you could argue due to injury, it affected his mobility. He had a bad day, 10 for 25 passing and just not very effective. Great story with Jalen Hurts coming in and leading Alabama back and beating Georgia. And then Kyler Murray had a solid day, but it was against a Texas team that's good but not great. You know, it wasn't against a team the quality of the Georgia Bulldogs that Tua did what he did there.
So would he have a better chance of locking it up easily if Alabama would have lost? Because it would prove how good he is and how bad the team is without him. The fact that the story's there and it overshadows the guy that got benched for you comes in and does basically the same thing you did a year ago.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't know that I can see it that way. I mean, I don't know that losing would help you win the Heisman. You know, he cost him the game would be the argument then. At least he didn't cost him the game. But yeah, the backup had to come in and rescue the team, which is not a great look. How about the Panthers? They play Cleveland this weekend. Do they get it done?
You know, I've had every confidence every week about it now. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I would like to see what's going to happen with Rivera calling the defensive plays for the entire game. He knows his job is on the line. There's a point of desperation. He sees what happens with what happened with McCarthy. If he loses to Cleveland, he's gone.
I don't know. They just made these moves. Would they do that?
Listen, come on. If he loses to Cleveland, even though Cleveland's improved, if he loses to Cleveland, he's gone. You got a brand new owner.
Losing to Cleveland is not what it used to be.
It's still bad, though.
I mean,
it's not as bad as losing to Arizona, but it could be.
Look, Cleveland beat the Falcons.
The Falcons are horrible this year.
They beat the Bengals.
The Bengals are pretty bad, too.
They beat the Ravens. That was way back.
Yeah, but
that was way back. and to beat the Jets. I mean, it's a four-win team, and we've got some games left. Well, we got four games left. They've already won four games. Cleveland, what's Cleveland end up? They get the Panthers at home, at Denver, the Bengals at home, at Baltimore. How many of those four do they win?
I say they win one to two more. I think they'll beat Cincinnati because they got a backup quarterback going, and I think maybe they beat Baltimore.
Not the Panthers. They might beat the Panthers.
I can't do it. I cannot do it.
I don't know. They might.
So you calling it?
Yeah.
You calling that Cleveland's going to beat the Panthers?
Yeah.
That's pretty bad, man.
Yeah. Panthers are not good right now. They're in a mess right now. They're in a mess. That would not be a shock. Would it?
See, you're saying this, and I can't believe you don't believe that Rivera would be fired if he lost to Cleveland. Because I gotta say,
immediately?
They may pull a Lane Kiffin. He may not even be able to fly home on the plane.
That's mean. Let me find the line on this game. Carolina, listen. What do you think the line is?
Two.
1.5.
Really?
Favored by 1.5 over Cleveland.
Oh, that's so bad.
That is bad. They could very easily lose that game. Very easily lose that game, and that's not going to be pretty if they do.
4 weeks ago, this line would have been what? They would have been 14 for them or something like that.
It'd be a touchdown or more. Yeah, that's bad. 1.5 for the Panthers. Hey, my Packers play the Falcons. That would seem good, except for what happened with Arizona last week.
Yeah, but they're going to play with renewed fervor, and they're going to come out there, and they're going to take care of Atlanta.
All right. What do you think the line on that game is? It's at Lambeau.
Don't tell me Atlanta's picked to win it. I don't believe that. I will go with 2 again.
It's 5.5 for the Packers.
Okay.
See, we still have some respect. A last little bit of respect for the Packers being picked over the Falcons. They could lose that game, too.
They just gave them that many points because they knew Aaron would be happy because he got McCarthy out of there.
I happen to think that the Falcons are a pretty good 4-8 team. They're not good. I'm not saying that. But for a 4-8 team, they have some weapons. And Matt Ryan's had a big year. And 25 touchdowns, 3,800 yards. It's just been a mess, especially defensively with the injuries for the Falcons. Jets and the Bills, Buffalo favored by 3.5. Ravens and the Chiefs, your guys favored by 6.5 at Arrowhead. Patriots and the Dolphins, Patriots favored by 7.5. The Dolphins just faded into nothingness. They led that division for a while. That seems like a long time ago. Saints and Tampa Bay, Saints only favored by 8. I think that would have been more earlier in the season. Redskins and the Giants. The Giants are favored over the Redskins by 3.5. Wow.
Redskins are pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. Yeah, it sure is. Deshaun Watson and the Texans favored by 4.5 over the Colts. Chargers by 14 over the Bengals. Yeah, that's the quarterback situation. Denver, 5.5 point favorite over the 49ers. Cowboys, 3.5 over the Eagles. Cowboys, red hot. Steelers by 11 over the Raiders. Detroit by 2.5 over the Cardinals. Rams by 3 over the Bears. That's a good Sunday night game. And then Monday night football, Seattle favored by 3.5 over the Vikings. All right, we're not here for the rest of the week. We'll be back on Monday. Mark Childress will be sitting in the chair tomorrow, and we'll join you here in the huddle. So enjoy. Straight Up with Sturgis coming up next. For Lonzo, I'm Greg McKinney. Thanks for listening to The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Have a great day.